This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The snap is fumbled by Sudfeld.
I could not have done what they did.
The head coach of the NFC East champion Washington football team, Ron Rivera. What did you think of when Sudfeld trotted on the field?
When one team's playing for something and somebody else is, the other team can do whatever they want.
Today's guests, NFL Network analyst Steve Mariucci, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah, New Orleans Saints wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders, plus actor Michael Chiklis. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, welcome to this Tuesday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live in Los Angeles, California. Hope everybody is happy and healthy wherever you're taking in this simulcast program right here on Peacock, NBC Sports on Peacock, streaming live every day between 12 and 3 Eastern, Sirius XM, Channel 211, NBC Sports Radio and audio right there for you, sitting for your ear gate and your level of enjoyment. We're also live, local, wherever you want to pick up our terrestrial radio feed, headlined by the mightier 1090 right here in Southern California. Chris Brockman, good to see you over in your position.
Rich Eisen, what's
happening? Mike Del Tufo, good to see you Rich. Where you are. Social media grandmaster TJ Jefferson settling into his chair here on this Tuesday program. And I will describe for the radio audience, I am in a cardigan.
Oh.
Love me, love me.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Am I Cardi E? Is that who I am?
Hey now.
Or the cardigans.
Hi. So, look. I speak from the heart whenever I talk into this microphone, and I feel for many. I'm an empathetic man. I'm an empathetic man, and I'm a man who has the buffet wrecked every year in the National Football League by the football gods that see fit to throw curveballs in the direction of the New York Jets. And as a fan of a franchise, a long suffer part of a fan base that always has the terminology of long suffering in front of it, right? Long suffering fan base, New York Jets. And when you hear maybe Cardinals fans long suffering, or you hear Jaguars fans say we're long suffering, we sit here and say, please hold our beers, okay? Lions fans, when they say long suffering, we look at them and say, tu salud. We hear you. Then there's the Browns fan base. Always looking for that trap door to open. Now, it's never done until it's done. It's never there until you're there. And this past weekend was a perfect example of it. Being up by 2 scores on the Pittsburgh Steelers and then having to white knuckle the plane finally landing in playoff territory with the Steelers hitting pay dirt late, having a 2-point conversion attempt to tie the game. And I think we all could have sensed how that game might have ended if there was an extra period to come. But 2-point conversion doesn't happen, and Browns are in. I reach for the old Twitter machine and type in the words that I, words that I never thought I would tweet because Twitter didn't exist the last time the Browns made the playoffs, but the Browns are finally in the playoffs. And now comes today's news that their head coach, who rightfully has had coach of the year conversations surrounding him, the head coach who has rightfully had a lot of faith placed in him by this long-suffering Browns fan base, and Kevin Stefanski, what he has done, what he has been selling, that has been purchased by his players. As Baker Mayfield said at the post-game press conference after the Browns finally made the playoffs, that this team learning a new offense, getting to know each other, getting to know a new coaching staff all by Zoom in this pandemic season, finally getting into a practice field and clearly not having a lot of practice time in the spring, summer, during the season, the number of times that COVID has shut their facilities, numerous. Having to play the Jets without any receivers and so on and so forth because of COVID in week 16. He said that this was the man, and Kevin Stefanski, he now has COVID. And he will not coach on Sunday night the capper of the first ever Super Wild Card Weekend. The Browns-Steelers game that I am mandated to say, because I'm a team player, you can't see here on Peacock. The Browns-Steelers game will not have Kevin Stefanski on the sideline. Now, Mike Prefer is the special teams coach, and he is expected to take the reins as the de facto head coach in this game. My colleague, Mike Garofolo from the NFL Media Group, saying Alex Van Pelt is expected to call the plays. He was going to call the plays in the preseason if there was one. And he is the guy that they will turn to as the de facto Stefanski in the play calling department. Here's the other problem. One of the players, two players tested positive for COVID. And one of them is the left guard, Joel Bitonio, who's a three-time Pro Bowler and has played his entire career for the Browns, all 7 years. My colleague from the NFL Media Group, Tom Pelissero, with a tweet describing his predicament and his particularly unfortunate diagnosis of being COVID positive. I'll read it. Bitonio is a three-time Pro Bowler who has spent his entire seven-year career in Cleveland playing for five different head coaches, enduring six losing seasons, including 1-15 and 0-16, finally makes the playoffs. And now he is COVID positive. I will quote Tom Pelissero, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, his last line from his tweet, brutal. That's the way to put it. Oh, I am so sorry, Browns fans. This is not over, okay? Everything in the NFL that is adverse can be viewed as an opportunity. Always is, always does. That is the way that I think anyone in the NFL that sees a speed bump, that takes something that is not expected, that is adverse to winning, as somehow, some way, searching for that silver lining, looking for that positive. Maybe Alex Van Pelt has been born for this moment. Mike Prefer has been born for this moment. Who's going to step in for Bitonio has been born for this moment. And so is Baker Mayfield, born for this moment, not having that coach and saying, we're going to win one for the convalescing coach. Could be that. Could be that on Sunday night. Not going to sit here and say that this knocks the Browns out. That would be ridiculous. Certainly not the way the Steelers finish the season. You know, that was an excellent second half against the Indianapolis Colts in Week 16. They needed it. They needed it. Otherwise, they might be that seventh seed heading to Buffalo in the Super Wild Card Weekend opener. They needed that half. But other than that, you know, I don't know how you can evaluate Sunday other than the fact that they gave it their best and almost pulled off that game. And unlike the other team from Pennsylvania, did not care about what it meant for their draft positioning. But this stinks on ice. To use the phrase from me growing up, I feel for you, Browns fans. Really do. And that's the only thing I could say. It's a bummer. It stinks. It sucks. Whatever you want to use. But it's not over. And it can be by the time Toe Meets Ball on Sunday night on NBC, Peacock, and Telemundo. It can be a rallying cry and win one for Stefanski, and let's win this one, and head to Buffalo, head to Tennessee, head to Kansas City.
Here we come.
Right? Head to, I don't know, that's pretty much where they can head to. So, we'll see how it goes. Let's see how it goes.
But this is the...
It is. I know. It's
a Browns thing to have happen.
I know. It's just that even when the trap door is closed, right, finally it opens. Even when it's closed, it opens. And I don't have anything to say other than the fact that I feel for you. It's not over. It's not over. You know, I imagine Stefanski will be coaching Alex Van Pelt up as much as he possibly can. So Alex Van Pelt had a front row seat as to Stefanski's mindset, thinking, style, cadence. Just got to channel it. And just so everyone else is aware, because you're going to start hearing, can they push the game? You're going to start hearing that. The answer is, sure, they can push the game. Will they push the game? The answer is no. The only way you push a game is because there is an outbreak in the facility. And Tom Pelissero, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, pointing out that the medical staff of the NFL has already looked at the samples, if you will. And there are different genome. I'm dropping the word genome. There are different strains. This is community spread. This is our world still going crazy in the COVID era. Community spread exploding everywhere. And Ohio is no exception. They've already decided, they've already found out that there's three different strains that amongst these positive tests. So it's not from within the building, it's from without the building. Shut the building down. Get ready to play Sunday night. Not going to cancel the game. I'm going to push it. You imagine you tell the Colts Steelers up, hey, look, we know what happened with you in Tennessee. We know that wasn't your doing, but you had to reconfigure the first half of your schedule and then play every single week from week five on. We know you had to do that, including, you know, hey, what happened with your Thanksgiving game and then your game against Washington, how that had to go get reconfigured because the Ravens had an outbreak. Guess what, Pittsburgh? Hold up. We don't know if you're going to be playing exactly where you're going to be playing in your own stadium in a playoff game because another team has an outbreak. If the other team has an outbreak, they will tell the Steelers that. If it has been determined it's not an outbreak, it's community spread within the building, they're not telling the Steelers, we got to hold off so the Browns have their coach. It's the way the ball bounces.
Yeah. Play ball.
Speaking of the way the ball bounces.
Ooh, this is a great segue.
Sometimes you win.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you lose.
Right.
True.
If you win enough,
yep,
you don't have to depend upon another team losing to get you to where you want to keep winning.
Correct.
Factual. Correct, right?
Yep.
You win enough, you go 16-0. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. Right? Or you go 0-16. Doesn't matter what another team does if you want to get to some golden locked stud of a quarterback.
Justin Fields doesn't have a golden lock.
No, no. Still not there yet. But my point is this. If you want to keep winning and get to where you want to go, don't lose. Not a way to put it. In other words, if you want to win your division, don't leave it up to the other team putting Nate Sudfeld in the game. Like the Eagles did on Sunday night. Because as I spat here in a truth-telling session to lead off yesterday's program, Eagles were like, we're going to try and win the game. We know we're in front of the entire country on NBC Sunday Night Football. We're going to try to win the game. I mean, we're going to deactivate a bunch of quality players because they have a knee and they've got a back and they've got a whatever. But we're still going to play Jalen Hurts until, you know, we're not going to pick 9th overall and we could pick 6th. That's what happened on Sunday night. That's what happened. Is it 100% fact? I believe so. There could be a lot of politics within the building that we're unfamiliar with playing out today in the highly publicized Tuesday meeting between head coach Doug Peterson and Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie. But that's what I believe happened on Sunday night. Now, we had Ron Rivera on yesterday, the head coach of the Washington football team, on yesterday, and asked him, what did he think when Nate Sudfeld came on the field? And, Yeah, I didn't think much of it. You know, I mean, he didn't think much of it because, you know, he's in a game and they're trying to win. And you know what? He's not going to sit here and criticize the decision of another head coach. And, you know, everybody has to do what they have to do in order to win. And if another head coach thinks that this is their best chance to win, who am I to say, what the hell are you doing putting a guy who hasn't taken a snap in 3 years that you already have evaluated from prior to those 3 years because you know Nate Sudfeld? Who am I to say, why are you putting him in against my beast of a rookie defensive player in Chase Young? Who am I to criticize that decision? I paraphrased Ron Rivera's thoughts and then editorialized myself in case anybody didn't see what Ron had to say yesterday. He basically, if you will, punted. Well, it kind of helps to be in the position of Nate Sudfeld helping you get to your division
right,
title.
Of course, of course.
What if you're the guy who gets hosed by it? What if you're Joe Judge of the New York Football Giants? Well, let's just say Joe had a different opinion of the Nate Sudfeld Sunday Night Football Game 256 season on the line for the Giants appearance for the Philadelphia Eagles.
We had a lot of people opt in to this season. Okay? We had a lot of people opt in. All right? Coaches, players. That includes family members as well. All right? So to look at a group of grown men who I asked to give me effort on a day-in, day-out basis and to empty the tank, and then I can look them in the eye and assure them that I'm always going to do everything I can to put them at a competitive advantage and play them in a position of strength. To me, you don't ever want to disrespect those players and their effort and disrespect the game. The sacrifices that they made to come into work every day and test before coming in, to sit in meetings spaced out, to wear masks, to have shields over those masks, to go through extensive protocols, to travel in unconventional ways, to get text messages at 6:30 in the morning telling them practice is going to be canceled, we have to do a virtual day, okay, to tell them please don't have your family over for Thanksgiving, please avoid Christmas gatherings, we know it's your wife's birthday, let's make sure we put that one off to the off season. There's a number of sacrifices been made by all the players and coaches in this league. There's a number of sacrifices that come along as well with the family members of the people connected to them. To disrespect the effort that everyone put forward to make this season a success for the National Football League, to disrespect the game by going out there and not competing for 60 minutes and doing everything you can to help those players win, we will never do that as long as I'm the head coach of the New York Giants.
Joe Judge.
Oh, baby.
Mic drop, Joe Judge.
Burr, 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 burr. Can you dig it?
Mic drop, Joe Judge. Now then. Stern. Now then. Okay.
Stern.
I agree with every last syllable he said.
Fact.
Every last syllable he said.
How can you not?
And he absolutely believes every syllable that he said in his core, gut, bloodstream, everything flowing through Joe Judge. He believes every word of that. Now then, hit it.
What were they really thinking?
Okay.
Here we go. Here we go.
Okay. This, I believe, is also the truth. Joe Judge is pissed. Yay or nay? Yay. Yes.
Oh, yay.
Totally pissed.
100%.
All right.
Without question.
He has also seen what his locker room has tweeted about. I'm sure somebody showed him that. I don't think there's an at Joe Judge or Joe Judge burner account that's out there. I doubt it. Okay. He's from the Belichick tree. He's from the snap face tree. Okay. So he knows his team and his players are pissed. So he's going to go out and he's not only going to echo their sentiments to say that I understand you, New York Giants players, my guys, I understand you. I'm going to echo these sentiments. I'm going to back your play. I'm also going to say through the media to you, we'll never do this. And you know, Joe Judge, because everybody chit-chats in the league is chatter, 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 chatter. You know Joe Judge knows what Jeff McClain in Philadelphia of the Inquirer reported that the Eagles players are pissed at Doug Peterson and management. They are way pissed. So that is Joe Judge receiving what happened on Sunday Night Football from Philadelphia. One big middle finger of Sia from the draft podium, sixth overall, Joe. And even though you're pissed now, we kind of helped you. You would have been 19th or worse. Now you're 11th. We improved your draft position too, Joe. But guess what? We'll see you from sixth overall, not ninth. We'll see you from sixth. Joe Judge has received that from Philadelphia. And with these comments, pulled a pin on a grenade and lobbed it right back in Philadelphia's direction and let that one land in a locker room. We won't do that here. Now, there but for the grace of football gods goes Joe Judge. He might stand there and stand his ground eventually if he's ever in a position like that and tell Dave Gettleman if he's still in his job or John Mara and Steve Tisch in ownership, I don't care what you're doing. I'm playing my guy at quarterback who's going to win this game. I don't care what our draft position is. We win. This is the way we do our jobs here. If he's ever in that position, we'll see it when we see it. But he basically just said, you'll never see it. And guess what, Philadelphia? You just saw it. And just throw that right back in the laps of the Philadelphia Eagles and say, enjoy the sixth overall pick. And you will when you draft him. But you've got a locker room that is absolutely in flames. Put that fire out. Enjoy that. And see how they follow you this season, Doug. Because here in the Giants, we may not have made the playoffs, but we have set the tone. That's what Joe Judge was saying, too, yesterday. Oh, baby. Speaking of pissed off Giants coaches over the playoffs, Steve Mariucci will join us because this is the anniversary. 18 years ago today, there was a 2002 season, but 2003 calendar year, where Mariucci's 49ers matched the Frank Reich Buffalo Bills in becoming only the second team at the time, three others have since done it, to overcome a 24-point deficit in a playoff game. The 49ers were down a bunch late third quarter against the New York Giants. If you remember, they came back to take the lead, but the Giants had a field goal to win it with no time left. Okay? With no time left. And the snap by Trey Junkin, whose name is still etched in New York lore. Trey Junkin, this was a botched snap, ball on the ground.
This is crazy.
And Rich Seibert, who was on the offensive line, he was reported as eligible for the field goal. He runs down the field and is open for a pass that was flung in the direction by the holder. And no pass interference was called. I will go over this one more time before Mooch joins us next time. But Mooch is joining us today because it was the anniversary. Now there's also this whole Peterson-Joe Judge thing to ask him about.
Yeah.
And also the super wild card playoff weekend to get Mooch's thoughts on. Daniel Jeremiah will join us as well to run through all of the top prospects we just saw perform for the national semifinal game. It's also Heisman Trophy night tonight. He's also the color analyst for Los Angeles Chargers football. The clapper is in the mix, apparently, for the job that Anthony Lynn no longer has. Jason Garrett is the latest name that's been floated out there. Emmanuel Sanders getting set to play for the Saints against the Bears on Wild Card Sunday. And Michael Chiklis will join us. Diehard Patriots fan. We've set the stage for this fun Tuesday Rich Eisen Show live on NBC Sports on Peacock and more. Back in a second. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Oh, yes, the Dunder Mifflin family has a new home. The Office, streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Whether you know a quote or you're a newbie to Scranton, you can stream every episode again and again. Sign up at peacock.tv.com to stream now. How exciting is this? I know everybody in Peacock is fired up over the fact that, and there's also never-before-seen stuff. Did you see that? One got tweeted out over the break where Jim made Dwight think that he was in the Matrix. Did you see that?
Oh.
No. Oh.
Yeah. How about that one?
Sounds amazing.
Dude, you see, it really is crazy.
Sounds amazing.
Oh, man. So, and you need to catch up. I've never seen it.
So
I know, but we've had so many guests here on the show talking about it.
It's a post-NFL
thing. Check it out right here on Peacock. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll take your phone calls in a second. But again, it was on this date in 2003. New York Giants were up 38-14 with 4 minutes and change to go in the third quarter. And with Jeff Garcia and Terrell Owens firing at all cylinders, the 49ers got back in this game, came back in this game, became only the second team in the history of the NFL to come back from 24 or more points down in a playoff game. Frank Reich's Buffalo Bills against the Houston Oilers, the other one. But it almost didn't happen as a successful comeback because the Giants had a 42-yard field goal all set up to win the game for Jim Fossil and the Giants. Trey Junkin, one of the best long snappers in his day, a botched snap. Matt Allen, the holder, couldn't hold it, put it down for Matt Bryant, and all of a sudden a fire drill breaks out. Matt Allen throws it downfield to Rich Seibert, a guard who actually reported as eligible before all of this. Pulled down by Cheeky Okafor. No flag. The only flag on the play was for an illegal man downfield on the offensive line for the Giants, because who knew there was a pass attempt coming? Should have been offsetting penalties, as head of NFL refs Mike Pereira at the time said. Giants fans still pissed. You know who's not pissed? The man who we're seeing hugging Jim Fossil on the screen. My buddy from NFL Game Day Morning, Steve Mariucci. Happy anniversary, Mooch.
That's a good recap. Thank you for just bringing that up to me. That's a fond memory that I have. You know, you know what? Down 38-14
yep.
In the third quarter. I remember it well, Rich. I grabbed my two coordinators, a Napper, yep. Craig Knapp, and Jim Mora Jr., right?
Okay.
I said, guys, whatever the heck our game plan was, forget about it. Change everything, man. We're desperate right now, because I was looking at that scoreboard. I thought maybe it's going to end up a 50-burger against us. Oh, geez. But boy, did the momentum, you know how momentum changes, right?
That's,
moments, right?
Mooch said this the other day on Game Day Morning.
Moments. You said, and there were some moments, man, and Garcia scored a touchdown, T.O. scored a touchdown, got some two-point plays and the whole thing, and Ty Streets from Michigan scored
right.
on double post to go ahead, 38-37. Crowd was crazy. It was the most unbelievable game that. Rich, that was my last game in that stadium.
Is that right? Your last game in Candlestick, huh? I didn't know that.
That was my last coaching day date for the 49ers. That was it.
Your last playoff win then, because, wow, unbelievable. And then, of course, tomorrow's the anniversary of the press conference where you were told what Mike Pereira had to say, that the Giants should have gotten the ball back with another attempt to try and get that game-winning field goal. And your response was what again, Steve?
Bummer. I mean, what do you...
Bummer. Great response, always, Mooch.
You know what? I'm not always at a loss for words, but... I mean, you know, they asked me, they go, hey, Mike Pereira said that, I mean, this is 24 hours after the whole city is celebrating. I mean, it was like a great day, right, in Candlestick. And so we were on a high note, and we were getting ready for our next game against the champs, Tampa. And so all of a sudden he informs me that Mike Pereira said, oh, they made a mistake. There should have been a penalty on both teams, you know, replay the down. And it was like, what do you want me to do, apologize or, like, right. Go back and play it over again? I just said, bummer. I mean, and, boy, did I hear about that, Rich.
Well, I know you still.
You know how New York people are. You know, they're just going to just get all over you, right? And now, all of a sudden, I'm getting messages, and I'm getting hate mail. And then the funny thing about it, not too funny, we go to Tampa to play the divisional round.
Right.
And they won the Super Bowl that year. They were a terrific team with Sapp and John Lynch and all those guys, Derek Brooks. Anyway, they beat us. So I get fired. I get fired after the second round of the playoffs. Why am I laughing? And the New York people were sending me cards and messages. Hey, Mariucci, you got fired. Bummer. I mean, they wouldn't let me forget about it, man. It was awesome.
Steve Mariucci here on the Rich Eisen Show, and now we've got another the current Giants coach is really upset. Joe Judge, yeah. I don't know if you heard his soliloquy yesterday.
Yeah.
So let's take this one piece at a time here. I know we were all on a text exchange, as we always are on the Game Day Morning Crew, watching, you know, nationally televised games of importance, and we're going back and forth with each other. I know you were mystified with what was going on Sunday Night Football. What do you think happened? It sure looks like the Eagles decided to pull the plug to save their better draft position. To me, Steve.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. And let me preface this whole thing by saying I have all the respect in the world for Doug Peterson.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Not just because he was one of my backup quarterbacks to Brett Favre in Green Bay, and I've known him, and I respect the job that he's done. He's one of the very few guys that are currently coaching with a Super Bowl ring, okay? I mean, so his resume speaks for itself. And I'm not making excuses for him, but here's a team that's out of the playoffs, okay? They're out. They're not playing for the Giants. They're not playing for the Redskins. They're not playing for anybody except themselves. And a lot of guys didn't play. Like 10 starters were out. And then I was a little curious why he didn't even suit up Carson Wentz, you know, because to me, in case Jalen were to get hurt, you can put Carson Wentz back in, and he's practiced up, ready to go, and healthy, and maybe you can finish the game and win the game with him. But he's in pajamas on the sideline. So this was, to me, it was like, all right, this is Jalen's team, probably next year or two, going to the future. It looks like it's Jalen Hurts' team, right? So evidently, he must have told Nate Sudfeld, you know, the quarterback that's been around there for 4 years, that, hey, I'll get you in the game. You know, it doesn't mean anything to us. I'd like to, you know, throw you a bone maybe and let you play some or whatever that is. And that's cool, you know, taking care of your players and giving a guy a chance to, you know, get on the field and blah, blah, blah. Well, the game was such that any promises that you made or any intentions that you may have had, you know, those are maybe out the window now because it's a competitive game. It's a 3-point game. And all of a sudden, to me, it was like, just try to win this game. It would be very beneficial for Jalen Hurts to finish a game. Try to, you know, with the 2-minute drill and try to come from behind in a close game and a rival. It's great for his development for the future. And then all of a sudden, the other kid's in, and Gail and I were watching the game. She looked at me, and she goes, "Who's that?" And I said, "Let's watch. I don't know what's going on. Maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's hurt." And I thought, so. But I don't see anybody going in any tents, okay? And then I don't see any doctors hanging out with Jalen, you know, smelling salt, nothing. They're just putting the camera on his face, and I'm going, "Oh, my God, they're just – they switch quarterbacks in a three-point game." And then so I'm going, "All right, well, maybe this kid is good. Maybe he'll win the game. Maybe he'll play well." Well, he didn't play well. And I was kind of dumbfounded a little bit why they didn't keep Jalen Hurts just for Jalen Hurts' sake. You know? Yeah,
exactly, Steve. And that's the whole point is that, you know, it looked like, and you could see their facial reactions, though, of the players on the sidelines. They did not want this. They wanted to finish up. They wanted to finish up. Jalen Hurts wants to finish up. And you would think that for the development of Jalen Hurts to be able to say in the offseason, we beat the team that otherwise would have won the division. You know, and sure, yeah, that the Giants got in, but at least, you know, there is some wind at his back right there. And don't you think Peterson has got some considerable, if he is still the coach there, and I'm assuming he will be, he's got some considerable damage control that Joe Judge, I think, and I said in my first segment here, Steve, Joe Judge's comments weren't just directed at his own locker room in the league and at Doug Peterson. I think he's trying to stir that up in the Philadelphia Eagles locker room by saying stuff like that, Steve.
Yeah, well, you know, and Joe's, I don't know Joe. And I, from what I watch, he's a good guy, good coach and all that, but he should kind of coach his own team. But, you know, it's a decision. That's what coaches get paid for, decisions and personnel decisions. And when you pull your quarterback and all that, and who plays and who rests, and other teams are resting players and, you know, that sort of thing. So evidently Doug didn't give a darn about New York Giants and their team. So he just kind of had a plan, and I think he stuck to it. He probably reluctantly stuck to that plan to let the other kid play. He probably was hoping they were up by two touchdowns and he could just play and explain it easy. Hey, we just let the kid play. But it was a three, or be down by 20 points and just say, hey, well, you know, it's over. Let's kid play. But in a game that's even, that was the thing that was, you know, concerning, but just baffling to me was, it's still a competitive game. This is not a time to be looking at or you know, throwing guys a bone or anything. But hey, that's a decision he made.
Mooch,
not my circus. But it stirred it up. Talk about renewed a rivalry. Now these two guys and these two teams are going to be just at each other's throats.
Mooch, did you ever get asked to what we're assuming Peterson was asked to do, which is take a knee on a game for a draft position? Have you ever been in that position ever in your career?
No.
That's got to,
never. I don't know. I don't know how that works. It's hard to. You saw the Jets, Rich. They didn't give a darn about draft.
Oh, I'm aware of
those players and those coaches on that team didn't give a damn about Trevor Lawrence.
That's obvious.
I'm telling you,
yes.
Because they weren't going to be there. Half the team's not going to be there next year. They're thinking about themselves in this year and in the here and now. Right? They don't care about the future. And you know, maybe ownership or front office might think about future once in a while, but not to extent to throw a game. I can't imagine.
Steve Mariucci here on the Rich Eisen Show. Now let me put you in a position you've also never been in, which is being COVID positive with a playoff game that you got to coach coming up on the weekend. That's now Kevin Stefanski's world for Cleveland, testing positive for COVID this very morning. Mike Garofolo, our colleague at NFL Media and NFL Network, saying that it looks like it's going to be Alex Van Pelt from the staff calling the plays, and Mike Prefer, the special teams coordinator, being the de facto head coach. What is Stefanski's challenge this week, other than obviously having to stay healthy? We hope he is asymptomatic. But what does he have to do now, knowing that he will not be part of this thing right now?
That's first I heard that, Rich. That's tough. And thankfully, they got a play caller there that's like-minded and can call a game. But they're not even going to let him be around the facility or
that's
at the
right
game or anything, right?
That is correct.
And he'll probably be involved with Zoom calls and that type of thing during the prep week.
So how do you do that? How do you, having a guy in Van Pelt who knows your thinking and obviously is an offensive-minded guy, but how how would you first blush go about making sure, you know, hey, if this happens, let's call this play. If that happens, call that play. Try to download him with as much without trying to clog his head with all that much. Does that make sense? How do you do that?
You know what, Rich? I haven't been through the COVID thing, but I've been through before passing the baton to a play caller. Mm-hmm. You know, I call the plays in San Francisco until I gave that to Marty Morningwig, all right? I called, and then eventually Napper, and I called the plays in Detroit until I gave that up as well. But and you only give it up to people that you know, I mentioned the word like-minded,
right.
That know your offense, that knows how you game plan and how you tend to call plays and what you like, what you don't like. And so you know, Van Pelt's going to be a good play caller. He's going to be a lot like Kevin Francis. He's not going to like install the wishbone.
Right.
I mean, he's going to run. Yeah. He's going to do what they do and do what they do best. And so, luckily, he's got that to fall back on. That's really important. You know, to have somebody qualified to do something like that. Not every staff has that next guy up. If your play caller on either side of the ball is out. For some reason, it'd be like your quarterback being hurt. You got to have a backup, right? And I think the Browns probably have a pretty darn good backup, but that's really unfortunate.
Steve Mariucci here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, Mooch, now that we are turning the page to the Super Wild Card Weekend, which 6-7 seed? Let's throw the Browns in there too, if you want. You got the Colts, and obviously you've got the Bears going to the Saints. You've also got the Rams, assuming, you know, it's either going to be Wolford again or Goff coming off the hand. Which one do you think has got an opportunity here? Or do you think we're not going to see much of an upset over this weekend? What do you got for me?
Well, I think the Rams-Seahawks is going to be a game that goes right down to the wire. That Rams defense can, you know, plays well against the Seahawks. That's going to be an interesting. How about John Wolford, huh? He led the team in course passing, but rushing too. And that defense is pretty salty. That'll be interesting. And then I don't know if the Bears can beat the Saints. But hey, on any given Sunday, that's a tough out for the Browns to go into Pittsburgh and win this game with a well rested Steeler team. That was smart on Tomlin's part to rest Ben and T.J. Watt and those guys. Very smart. Because they really haven't had their bye in months, and they needed this. So that'll be a fun game. I like the Colts and what they're doing, but I just don't see them going into Orchard Park and winning that game against the Bills. The Bills are really a scary team right now.
They are, aren't they?
Really good.
I mean, Allen is – he is – can you say blossomed? I mean, it's more than that.
Yeah.
He's exploded.
You know. So remember in the draft, and you do a great job over at the Combine in the draft and
yes,
all
sir.
That stuff, Rich.
Thank
remember
you,
when he was coming out, he was statistically, now, you know, because I really looked into this. He's a California kid. He's right from the valley, right down here, okay? Little fireball, little town. And then he ends up with really only two offers, and he goes to Wyoming. And he wasn't a very accurate passer.
Right.
Big gangly kid that needed to learn how to play quarterback. And that kind of haunted him. Early in his career at the Bills, his completion percentage wasn't very good. And I looked at it in college because these other guys are throwing for 73% completions. Well, a lot of that completion percentage stuff is all these horizontal throws out to the flat, and these screens and these quick throws and smokes and all this baloney and jet sweeps from shotgun, which really inflates that completion percentage. And he didn't do much of that in college. So I'm going, you know, the types of throws – make that completion percentage a little bit less, right? But for 2 years, he was still down there at the Bills. Well, he has blossomed like crazy right now. He makes all the throws. He's accurate. And you know what? Steve Young told me when he was playing, he said, Mooch, when I was at BYU, they were going to make me a DB because I wasn't a good enough quarterback. They were going to move me to corner. And I begged them to let me play one more spring at quarterback, so they let him do that, and he stayed at quarterback. And he said, even at Tampa Bay when he went there, USFL in Tampa Bay, he said, I wasn't a very accurate quarterback. I became a better more accurate quarterback, not just because of my mechanics, but my understanding of timing and anticipation and location and, you know, those types of things. So Josh Allen is learning those types of things right now. And that's scary for that division because he's not going anywhere. He's going to be around there for another decade and getting better and better.
And it could be scary for the conference, too. We'll see how far the Bills can go if they do get past the Colts. And I got Jonathan Taylor on tomorrow's show. We'll talk about that matchup a little bit more. And then obviously you and I will be spending an absurd amount of time together with two shows over the weekend. I'm looking forward to it, Mooch.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. I mean, wild card weekend, six big games. Are you kidding me? This is fantastic.
I agree with you. Happy anniversary again, Steve.
Thank you. Let's do this each year. This is just a great memory, Rick. it's my last great memory in Candlestick, you know?
I know.
Just keep alive, will you?
Okay, you got it. You take care, Mooch. I'll see you Saturday. I'll see you soon. Okay.
See ya.
One of my favorite people, Steve Mariucci.
The best.
We'll take a break. We'll talk a little bit more about that Joe Judge comment that Steve just made. That's a little out of character for Steve.
Pay attention
right
to
there.
Your own team.
Uh-huh. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, and also our poll questions. A good one. We'll unveil it. That's next on The Rich Eisen Show.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Hey, it's a new show that's coming to NBC. Ted Danson, Holly Hunter, Bobby Moynihan, and Mr. Mayor premieres January 7th on NBC. My son, Zan, who binged The Good Place, it could not be more excited about
this. I am very excited for this show.
Could not be more excited.
Ted Danson in my
just,
life.
It's just we haven't gotten around to doing this, and you know we will here on Peacock, where you can see all of Cheers as well.
Right.
Like to tell Zan, you know, the guy who you saw in The Good Place, mm-hmm. and now want to see in Mr. Mayor, is one of the old time greats from when I was your age, essentially.
I think Zan could watch Cheers.
Oh, there's no. We just haven't gotten around to doing it yet. And we also, it does require a little bit of an arm twist. Because, you know, anything in standard definition to him is like my parents telling me to watch something in black and white.
Yeah, that's true.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show radio network. And by the way, Mr. Mayor, that's debuting on NBC on January 7th. You can stream it on Peacock the next day. So we're talking about telling my son who's been watching Ted Danson in The Good Place, you know, it's just like, okay, so yes, you know, the co-star in The Good Place is also Princess Anna from Frozen. This gentleman that you see and enjoying his work, he's an all-time great from a show called Cheers that we'd love for you to watch as well. Well, it's in standard definition. I don't know, Dad. Is that old?
But it's probably it's up converted, so it's not going to be too bad. Cheers would be a great rewatch, re-binge.
I know, which is great on Peacock. My only problem with it is I play poker with one of the guys who helped put Cheers on the air. And if if I'm like thinking of going all in, he doesn't care because he's got. Right. You know, he's got residuals from Cheers Latvia, money. You know Cheers what I mean? Money. And just what the hell do I care? I'm going against Cheers money in poker.
Yeah.
Taxi money. I'm going against friggin' taxi money.
That's no good.
I'm sorry. Is this on? Are we?
What? Hello? Money. Mic check.
Oh, baby. Let's take this phone call. Sam in Fort Worth, Texas. You're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Sam?
Hey, good morning. What's happening?
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Joe Judge, you said you agreed with every single word.
I did.
Do you really think that these NFL players had huge sacrifices by getting a text at 6:30 a.m. with no practice, that they had to have a disruption to their normal travel procedures, that they're the only ones that didn't attend birthday parties gatherings?
No.
That was a little much to act like they've had some extremities compared to the rest of the world. I've got clients that have been liquidated, gone under, Every NFL player got paid. I'm sorry if they had to have access to testing that a lot of people don't. Let's not act like they had some horrible world compared to a lot.
No, Sam. Look, I think when you hear a comment like what Joe Judge had to say, you have to, you know, he did not, or maybe we edited it in a way that did not have the.
I heard the whole thing.
Well, no. Maybe he had the preamble of, I know that what we go through isn't as nearly as disruptive of what's going on in the real world. You have to take the concept that he's coming to you from his world and understands that his world obviously has it better than the real world. I mean, so I totally. No. When you say what you just said, I agree with you, obviously. But
that was no part of the clip.
I know that. I understand that. And I fully would understand as well that you sitting from where you sit and from the experience that you have endeavored would say, of course, the NFL has the testing in a way that makes them much safer than the rest of the world. No doubt about it. I totally agree with you there. But let's just say that we're just talking about the concept of what has been endeavored. As he said, people have opted out, like people decided to stay in and earn their paycheck, but also work in a pandemic and also disrupt their version of their lives. And he's saying that it was wrong of another team to basically take a knee on competition when everyone else is all in on the competition with everything that's going on. Does that make sense?
Understood.
Okay. So,
but I would ask everyone to remember this, and yes. I do think this is an issue that all of these major sports are going to face.
Yes.
They're starting to lose touch with the real world, and I know corporate buys the tickets, et cetera, but these demands, the James Hardens of the world, these sacrifices in their mind and the coaching contracts being bought out in college football, it's turning a lot more people off than they think.
Sam, I appreciate the call. Thank you for your 2 cents right there. Sam with a little dose of the real world. But again, I don't think Joe Judge is saying that these guys have it better than anybody who's waiting on a food line. I mean, or somebody who's wondering where their next paycheck's coming from. No. I mean, he's just talking about in the construct of actually opting in and playing in a football season from the world of a football team. And again, what I said, I believe he said what he had to say. You had Mariucci hardly says a crossword about another coach. Him saying he should coach his own team. I even, ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's maybe what the rest of the coaching community is seeing what Joe Judge has to say. But I'm saying that I believe Joe Judge isn't like saying I'm going to even cement my place in my own locker room at the expense of Philadelphia. If they're going to sacrifice my playoff opportunity on the altar of their draft position, well, guess what? I'm going to sacrifice their draft, their locker room chemistry on the altar of me cementing mine. Miles Sanders, okay, Miles Sanders went on WIP today in Philadelphia. Quote, if I'm being honest, nobody liked the decision. Nobody. Talking about Jalen Hurts sitting. That's all I can say, really. I don't know who was the main person behind that decision. All I know is that a lot of people on the team was confused. This is what the Eagles are going to have to extinguish on their way to handing in the sixth overall selection to the commissioner's podium next April. This is a fire within their own, figuratively, within their own house, and they need to extinguish this. And clearly, this wasn't mapped out. Hey, guys, Nate's going to play in this game. We're not going to try and win it. Or I don't know how you do that if you're a coach. But clearly, this was uncorked in front of the entire country, including that sideline. And Joe Judge has every right to make this a problem for Philadelphia. Certainly, since there's bad blood going all the way back to the Philly special. Wasn't he the special teams guy? Right?
Correct.
Okay, so going all the way back to the Patriots-Eagles, this has been going on. Daniel Jeremiah, hour two coming up. You know, I know that's why we're here on Peacock, is talking about stuff as it happens. This is why Peacock has a live portal for NBC Sports. This is happening right now in Philadelphia. Miles Sanders goes on the radio. I'll be honest with you. Nobody liked this decision. And I'm telling you, there is no chatterier bunch on planet Earth than football executives and coaches and players. They're all talking about it.
You know, think about that picture from after the game. It's like one in the morning, and Kelce and Ertz and these guys are out on the bench. I'm sure looking at each other like WTF,
chopping
bro.
It up. Chopping it up. How do you think Sudfeld feels about this? That he's the personification of tanking?
He's
I mean, you put him in that position, Hertz in that position, and Peterson might have been the one being put in a position by the owner, our friend of the program, Howie Roseman. And I'll tell you, Howie, if it was his decision, he could feel the heat right now. And as long as the owner's saying, you got your job, he is still, Doug, it's your job. You're the coach. You put that fire out. And I'll make sure we catch that sixth overall pick. So you, with the rest of the guys who stick around, can win football games. But if I'm Joe Judge, I am taking this, and I'm going to the bank even more. Hour two coming up on the Rich Eisen Show. Daniel Jeremiah and more.